Good morning. Thank you for joining us for these Radio Sunday School Bible class for September the 20th in the year of our Lord 2020. We do welcome you, and we always welcome you. It's a joy to know that people do listen to us. We just heard a little bit ago a report from one of the pastors here, Brother Mike Hall, that one of his people, no, was it your Brother Pinion's person that always listens to us?
Yeah.
And so that makes us feel happy, and it makes us feel like we're accomplishing something. We never know when we teach the Word of God truthfully and honorably and anointedly, but then we never know who's listening. So those of you that are, invite others to join you, and we'll just have a good time studying God's Word. Now, we're going to be studying, I'll go ahead and tell you that, we're going to be studying a continuation of the Ten Commandments. And this is the main topic for it is called After God's Own Heart, A Fresh Look at the Ten Commandments. So you be turning to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, and then you put you something there in your Bible if you're where you can follow us, and then turn to 2 Samuel 15, verses 7 through 14. So we're going to tell you who we are, and we're going to get started with a joyous experience of ours to teach the Word of God. Brother Brannon.
I'm Brannon Pinion, pastor of Moore's Bridge Baptist Church in North Tuscaloosa County, and I'm just glad to be anywhere.
And I'm Mike Hall, pastor at New Salem Baptist Church in Reform, and I am tickled to death to be with you.
And we're tickled to be at New Salem recording this these Sunday school lessons.
Absolutely.
And I'm Herschel Lord, and we do thank Mike and his church for being so kind to let us come over into their dining area and record the lessons. You won't hear us chomping on anything because there's nothing here to eat.
We don't eat. But
we do have a good cold glass of water.
That's
I got some tea.
And he's got tea. I brought
my thermos.
We appreciate you for not bringing us any.
I didn't have time to get y'all.
That's quite all right. We'll understand.
No, he's been hunting pint jars, and they wanted to put drinking stuff in.
No.
His wife's going to fix some apples.
Apple butter.
So,
all right.
I won't give you address, or they'll all be up there wanting a jar of that apple.
Well, she'll give you one.
And I'm Herschel. Yeah, she would. I guarantee you. I'm Herschel Owen. I live in Gordo, Alabama. Been pastoring a few years and been blessed to be a part with this group and to know these two guys. And I highly recommend them to you. Not for a new church, because I don't want to move in not a peg. But they'll tell you the truth about God's Word. So we're going to ask Brother Mike Hall, would he lead us in a word of prayer?
Be glad to. Lord, we just thank you for the time together today. And I just ask your blessing on the time we spend here. On every person that is listening today, God, I just ask you to direct them as they listen, direct us as we speak. Give us your wisdom, and then, Father, direct it to the heart of those who hear that they might get from it what you would have them to in Christ's name. Amen.
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 Okay, so hope you got it. Exodus 20, verse 12, 2 Samuel, verse 15, and verses 7 through 14. Brother Pinion, would you start us off, please, sir?
I'd be delighted to. In Exodus 20, 12, the Bible said, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Okay, so we're studying today, honor your parents, honoring your parents. And it's very important that you do honor your parents. Three things we're going to tie our lesson around. Of course, we're like rabbit dogs. We sometimes break off and run the rabbits in another direction. But honoring our parents is not optional to us. as Christians. It's not an option. We've been told to do it. A biblical example of dishonoring parents is given in this lesson. And then we will conclude the effect of dishonoring your parents. And David, of course, was the father of the young man in 2 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to find verses 7 through 14. Absalom, we'll hear something about Absalom, and we'll hear something about what the effect was of his dishonoring his own father. But now, when I was going to school, my mom and daddy told me, "Say you get a whipping at school. When you get home, you're going to get one."
Uh-huh.
Well, they didn't know about this law of double jeopardy, that if you got tried and convicted and punished, they believed in many times of jeopardy. If they had to. And so
they didn't care either, did they?
No,
they didn't.
And I knew when they said they would do it, especially my mama. She had the memory of an elephant. We'd go somewhere and she'd say, "You better not open a drawer in that house." Well, you know how kids are. That's like putting a sign on a new painted bench and saying, "Wet paint."
You just got to touch it.
And so when she said, "Don't open a drawer," that was like putting a magnet up there. And one of us, my sister or I, would violate that. Mama might not say anything, but she'd look at us because we'd see what Mama...
We'll deal with this later.
And her look said, you just wait.
Uh-huh.
And when we got home, we'd be cheerful and jumping around trying to get her mind off of it. But she'd say, "Children, you remember what Mama told you?" "Yes, ma'am." "Well..." And get me a keen little peach tree limb.
"Come in.
And we're going to do it." And she had commenced, and I believe she could have written all 10 commandments on my legs with a switch. but she didn't leave any stones unturned. So if I turned out bad, it wasn't Mama's fault, I'll tell you that. But I learned to honor my mama. I learned to honor my daddy, too. My daddy was not a Christian, and he didn't treat us right. But with God's will, I did learn to honor him. And I read where the writer of our Sunday school lesson, Tony Evans, he said when he'd start to go out as a young man on Saturday night, his daddy would say to him, "Boy, don't forget your name is Evans."
Yeah.
And he said, "I knew what my name was, Tony Evans." But he said, "That wasn't what Daddy's talking about. He's talking about you don't do anything that brings dishonor to this name."
Right.
And he said, "I learned right quick, you just don't do that."
You don't do that.
You don't do that.
So, there are consequences.
And, and of course, he turned out to be a great preacher of the gospel. And we're grateful to him. Now, let's go into this 12th verse that Brother Pinion read. What does you think it means? Who's the person, Brother Mike, that's to be honored here according to this?
Well, of course, he says your father and your mother. Now, I like the way, you know, the Bible don't ever waste words.
No.
I tell them all the time. Now, when you're reading, be careful you don't just read through and not pay attention to every word that's there. Because it doesn't just say your parents. It says honor your father and your mother, making sure that you understand that there's a co-equality there.
That's right.
In honoring both. Because I have seen in many families children who will, you know, when daddy comes in, they'd just be on their best behavior. But when daddy's gone, you know, we just take advantage of mama and mistreat mama. So, you know, that's the ones. It's our parents, it's our father and our mother that is to be honored. And again, you talked about the name, you know, the mama's family and her name and all of that is just as important, and we need to keep all of that in mind.
So your mama and your daddy. Now, Mike, in my case, and Brother Pinion, I think I'll address this Brother Pinion, because he came from a good godly Christian home, and you were raised in a...
My grandparents were actually raised me, but they were godly people. They were,
And but my, I didn't come from a godly. My mama was as good a Christian as ever lived, as far as I know. And but we were not allowed to live as Christians. We were not allowed to go to church. I don't know that I, at that point in time I didn't know anything about church and didn't want to go anyhow. But Pinion, what about? Am I to honor my daddy, even though he mistreated us and abused us verbally?
I think in a case like that, Herschel, I never have been subjected to it, first of all. But I think in a case like that, we would be wise to continue to honor them so that we might win them one day to a saving relationship with the Son of God.
Yeah, I agree with you. It did not say, if you got good godly parents, this is for you. If you don't, then you skip this verse.
Right.
It says honor them.
Yeah.
And in my case, I tried my best to. When Daddy got old and he was not able to drive anymore, I bought his groceries. He lived in a little house. Well, in fact, I helped build his little old house. Lived in a little house and up on Black Warrior River, up in that area, North River. And I'd buy his groceries and carry them to him, and I'd help him any way I could, even though he had abused us such that he's even held a shotgun to our heads and threatened to kill us. But nevertheless, after I became a Christian, I knew what God's Word said, and it didn't have any ands, and buts in there.
Right.
It said honor. And so I'm glad as I look back over his life, the last years of his life, that even though it wasn't easy, to get the worst cursing out I ever got in my life, and I've got a few, was when I built another little old house in Gordo, Alabama, to move him because he got where he wouldn't eat. Even the groceries that I carried him, he wouldn't eat. Couldn't take care of himself. But when he found out that I was going to move him from up there where he lived, way out in the woods by himself, to a place where I could take care of him, he led into cursing me. And now I'm telling you, you ain't had a good cussing until he got through with you. And when I offered, I thought we had two or three steps to go up to the little house, and I offered to help him. He slung his hands and for me to get away from him, he crawled in. But nevertheless, that did not excuse me from honoring him. And I did the best that I could. I honored my father, and I honored my mama also. But I'm not going to go into that testimony. But as I look back on life and see the hard things that came, I'm glad. Though I didn't know as much about this verse as I do now, I'm glad that I did do what God wanted me to do.
Yeah, and you know, today I drove school bus for several years, and in addition to pastoring my church. But anyway, we got a pretty good little microcosm here of questions, because you know, as Brown, you know, had honorable mom and dad. My daddy was killed in a car accident when I was in first grade, but he and my mother had already divorced. But when I was a year and 7 months old, my mama decided that she couldn't take care of me, and my daddy was divorced at that time, and so she just brought me and put me in her mama's lap and said, here he is, he loves you more than he does me anyway, so I'm gonna let you just have him. And so there's a lot of kids out there, as I saw driving the school bus, in that same kind of situation. Their grandparents are raising them, or maybe grandmama's trying to raise them by herself, or maybe they're single parent home. And there's a lot of torn and twisted families out there in our world today. And it's a lot of disruption in the old form of home of mom and dad and the children. It's a lot different to what it you know, is intended by God to be from the time of creation. But I can well remember, my daddy, I never did really know him because I have one very faint memory of him that, you know, didn't matter. But my mom, she lived on, you know, far enough away from us, about an hour and a half or so from our house. And so I didn't see her, but just maybe two or three times a year. But anyway, I did honor my grandmother and my grandfather as parents, because that's the only parents I ever really knew.
They were your parents.
And I called them mom and daddy, just like, you know, just like the other kids in the family did. I had uncles and aunts there in the household, four of them. And so we were just all together, and I didn't know anything different, except I knew all the time, you know, the situation, because my grandmother never withheld from me, you know, the information, right, knowing what had happened and so forth. But I still tried to honor my mother in the best way that I knew how, especially as I got to be an adult, only because, you know, God's command is that way. But I can well remember as a kid when I was in school with other kids and we'd have functions, you know, where the parents would be there and so forth. And my grandparents, they tried to fill that role just like they did with their own children. But I always wondered, you know, why did my mama not love me enough to, you know, to want to be a part of my life? Or why was it that she was a very beautiful lady? She really was. And I thought how proud I would have been to have had her, you know, at some of those school functions where people could see what a beautiful mother I had. But yet somehow she just didn't love me and so forth. But, you know, she did in her own kind of way, I guess, love me somewhat. But I said all that just to say there's a lot of folks out there that I can remember, even when I was almost 60 years old, my mother had three other children besides myself. And so they were my half-brothers, my half-brother and two half-sisters. And so there was a time when we would have our Christmas get-togethers with my grandparents, of course. And after both my grandparents was dead, we was having that get-together one time, and I called my mother, and I asked her, I said, well, you gonna come and be with us at our Christmas party this year down here in Reform? She lived in Jasper. And she said, no, I'm gonna just have Christmas this year with my family up here. And I thought, wow. And I was almost 60 years old. I mean, I was 55, 60 years old. And honestly, I cried. I ain't gonna lie about it. I did, because it broke my heart even then. So, you know, there's times when, you know, maybe the parents don't honor their children, but still God doesn't say, if your father and mother honors you, then you honor them back. It doesn't say that. Yeah. It says honor them. And so even until she died, I think in her own way she loved me somewhat, but I tried my dead level best to honor her anyway. But now my grandparents, as mother and dad, I mean, I would have give my life for them in a heartbeat. I wouldn't have thought a thing about it. My grandmother tried her best to get me to make her a solemn vow that I wouldn't put her in a nursing home. And I said, Mama, now look, I'm not going to make you a vow that I won't. I'll promise you I'll do everything I can help keep from it. And we ultimately did have to because of her physical condition. But it was only for a couple of weeks or so before she passed. But all that having been said, I tried in every way. I lived next door to them till they both died. I sat with them to the very end and loved them and honored them as best I could. But we've got a lot of parents today that are not honorable. And I know folks will say, well, you know, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to honor them anyway.
Amen.
As best you possibly can.
Amen.
Honor them anyway. But boy, I tell you what, home lives now and family lives now is so different. I know there's a lot of children out there. I know one child in particular that just will not speak to mom and daddy and won't have anything to do with them. And if you ask him why, he'll just say, oh, it was just something that was said at the wedding when I got married. You know, that's crazy. That's so far against what God teaches that it's ridiculous.
And there's no excuse for it.
None.
No. In Mike's case, that breaks my heart to think about a child coming up, and even at a, and an adult be excluded from the family and saying, I'm going to spend it with my family. But so we need to regard this. And I know in some cases it's hard.
It is. There's times that Satan's going to see to it that something is said or something is done. It's going to hurt your feelings, break your heart, whatever. That's okay. But one thing I try to always tell myself, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about God and how I can best represent God. I don't know. I honestly can say I don't know if my mother's in heaven or hell today. Right. I don't know. I know the testimony of her life was not really one of a Christian. But now, I don't know. But I don't want to judge or whatever. But I did try to be a Christian witness in front of her and let her know about the Lord as I did or I have with my brothers and sisters. But that's a difficult situation.
It is. Opinion that the next question, and Mike answered part of it there and what he just said, but how do we go about honoring our parents, either good or bad? What are some things that we can do and ought to do to honor our parents?
Well, one of the biggest things, Herschel, in my mind, is giving them the due respect that they deserve.
Right.
Because of the sacrifices that they have made, both in their material things as well as in spiritual things. Now, I can recall when my daddy was stricken with tuberculosis. And I was just a lad of a boy then, and he went to a TB sanitarium up in North Georgia. We didn't have an automobile. We couldn't get around except in a mule and wagon or on some kind of ground slide.
And a long trip on a ground slide. That'd be a long trip on the ground side.
Oh, it wouldn't make it. It'd come apart and wear out before we got
you
there.
You too.
But nevertheless, I only got to see my daddy from a balcony at the hospital where he was staying. And, my mother, bless her soul, she kept us three boys going and helped raise the crop to keep us in Brogan shoes and overalls and a shirt. And man, even then, as just a lad, I appreciated what she was doing. But as I grew older, I appreciated it a great deal more because of the honor that she deserved for what all that she did. And before her death, I provided for, and I haven't regretted a bit of it since.
No. Well, so these are the things you can do. You can show respect. My mama insisted, and it still benefits me today, that for an older person, you said yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. And sometimes, after I got to be an adult, and I'd say that, maybe even to a younger person, they'd say, why are you saying yes, ma'am, to me? I'm younger than you. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but my mama drilled that into me, and I respected her.
Oh, absolutely.
And I respected her. So there's a multitude of ways that we can help them. And I don't know your case that's listening to us. I don't know what the circumstance is there for you, but I do know that God will provide a way for you to honor your parents. Now, is there any benefit, according to that 12th verse, is there any benefit in honoring them?
Tremendous benefits. That thy days may be long upon the earth which the Lord God hath given thee. And you know, I've had, and I did, I honored my daddy and mother.
Sure.
Right on up till they died.
Right.
And then I was relieved.
Yeah.
But not until then.
That's right.
I was a grown man with kids of my own, and before my mother died, and I still respected her, and I still gave her the honor that she deserved and needed, and you know, my wife at the time didn't agree with everything I was doing.
Sure.
But I did it anyway.
Well, you were commanded.
And I haven't regretted it.
You were commanded to do it. And he's just a lad of a boy now of 85. So I'd say the promise has been illustrated there.
It's being kept. Yes, yeah. It's being kept.
And when he gets old, we'll know that it's
it's
so.
And he's already.
Yeah.
He already is old.
And the funny thing about it is, I ain't far behind him.
I'm just a mere child.
I'm just
a child of 69.
So. Yeah, he's just a kid. If you say yes sir, no sir.
Yeah, I do. Listen, I say yes sir, no sir to you and Brother Pinion sometimes.
Yeah.
But
sometimes, yeah. When
yeah. Sometimes you say worse too.
Yeah,
Mike.
Sometimes I do. But it's all in fun. But you mentioned something, you know, about the honoring parents. One of the things that you related to a little bit ago was the name. That's one of the things I think too is very important. We give honor to our parents when we take care of them in their afflictions, and especially in their old age, because my wife and I don't have any children now, and I at our advanced age, and I'm beginning to think, well, you know, who's going to take care of us? Well, I know God will, and I don't worry about
Brother
that.
Brother Pinion and I will.
Yeah, I know you and Brother Pinion will. I don't have to worry about it. I'm well cared for. So y'all heard that. That's as good as a contract.
Speak for
you
yourself, Herschel.
But anyway. But anyway.
Well, I will. I love him.
I do, too.
I appreciate the love, but money would be, you know, kind of nice,
little,
too.
That money in the envelope.
Yeah, a little money in the envelope would help out. But we do honor them also by, like you talked about a while ago, the name, you know, the
sure.
Honoring them by when we behave or misbehave, it reflects on our parents even after we get 85 years old.
That's right.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's a reflection
it
on
don't
how
end.
They. No, it don't. And I still well remember one. I've got a nephew that we got a fish pond, and a little boy he come to me. My little nephew said, "Uncle Mike, I'm going fishing this evening." And I said, "Whoa, son, not today, not today." He said, "Why not?" I said, "Because it's Sunday." And he said, "Well, we've been to church. I can go fishing now. And I said, "Well, son, I was raised that you let the fish and the deers and the squirrels and the animals rest too on Sunday. So I don't fish on Sunday. I don't hunt on Sunday." But that's just an example of some of the ways
that
Mom and Daddy raised us. And I'm honoring that. I am.
I still am, too.
I don't go against it. If in any way possible I could help it. And, you know, to me, that's what honor also includes.
Oh, yeah.
Is the honor of their name and even their memory once they're gone on.
And that covers such a large territory. We could spend a month right here talking about this. But my mama would set up at night and sew. She would do whatever it took to pay her debts, anything she owed.
Yeah, my grandparents were
well,
that same
I think
way.
This honoring is not just a one-time deal.
No, no, it's a lifetime deal.
It's a lot. There you go.
Yeah, it is.
And lifetime and our lifetime.
That's right, all the way. That's right.
Yeah.
I know in our Ten Commandments study, the Bible says that, you know, for those who hate the Lord, and that means for those who reject God, he says the punishment or the consequences will go on even to the fourth generation.
Right.
And what God is saying is that you know, this honor, like with the nephew, you know, and others on down the line, you know, that kid will remember that. Now he may fish on Sunday, and he may not. That'll be up to him.
But he'll remember.
But he'll remember me telling him that. He will. He'll remember me telling him that.
And that's been, that was the rules that we had in our house. And Mama, I mean, there wasn't no use to ask for any variation from it. It was going to be that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I brought my boys up. You know, I'm sure they got behind my back and made fun of me a little bit.
Well, sure, kids do that.
But they knew they weren't to do that.
That's right.
And me know about it.
Well, that's right. And there is wonderful, wonderful benefits. I can't describe really how good it makes you feel to think back on some of the things that your parents taught you and raised you. And when you honor them, it still makes you feel good, even though they're not here to see it. But, right. You know, within your heart, you still have that warm, fuzzy feeling that I know I'm doing like Mom and Daddy taught me. And I'm behaving like I should. And, you know, when you don't do it, there's consequences. You still feel that old guilty feeling.
Yeah.
You know, like I probably deserve a good whooping right now.
Yeah, you do.
What?
No, well, anytime you need a good whooping, you call me and her.
Yeah.
I'll get him to hold you and I'll whoop you.
Y'all be glad to oblige.
We really
I have no
that,
doubt.
We're really not that mean to him because we love him.
Right.
And so Mama tell me when she was beating the tar out of me with a hickory switch, she'd say, "Son, I have to do this because I love you.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't you show your love another way, Mama?"
Oh, it hurts me more than it does you, and I knew that was a lie.
So that's right, Mama said that same word.
My Mama didn't even offer an explanation. She just did it.
She just let her fly. Huh?
I mean, she let her fly, yeah.
Yes, sir, buddy.
Well, regardless of what kind of parents you had, some of you said, "Lord, I wish I'd had good parents like Brother Mike and Brother Brandon Pinion." But regardless, you are to honor your mother and your father.
That's right.
There's no exception to the rule.
All the days of your life. And the Bible, and he says, so that your days may be long on the land that God's given you. And there's two ways of looking at that. Of course, one of them is as Brian, as we were talking about a while ago, that you'll live a long life, mm-hmm. You know, that you'll live and do well. And for the Jews, it also meant that they'd be able to occupy the promised land for many, many years, because they knew what it was like. If you disobeyed God and you dishonored God, God would allow them to be taken into slavery as they had been before into the times of slavery to the Egyptians. So they knew what God meant, and it wasn't just a flippant thing with them.
No.
It was serious business, as it should be with us.
And it still works that way today, maybe not in identically the same way that the Jewish people enjoyed there in the Promised Land, but I'm telling you, God will bless. He will bless you if you honor him and you honor your mother and your father.
We're beginning to see a lot of the consequences in our age of what happens when children are not raised to honor their parents.
Oh, yeah.
And we're beginning to see what happens to kids as they go off to college and they're taught all of this liberalism and this ungodly stuff that they're being taught in the public systems now. That takes them away. And if you raise up children that don't honor their parents when they get older, they're going to become heathenistic, just as many of them are today. And the Bible even says that in the end times that the children will have rule over the parents.
That's right.
And that's what's happening in many cases right now in America today. And we're not going to be able to enjoy this land the way we have in the past. I think that has a lot to do with what's going on in America today.
Well, you'll never may believe, Mike and Brandon, that folks that walk down the streets and break out people's windows in their store and they set fire to people even of their own race and people even of their own culture set fire to their buildings, and they pull down statues and they spray ugly, vulgar things on some of the most important buildings in our country. You won't make me believe they are out there honoring their mother and
their
father.
They're not honoring anyone but Satan. And a lot of it has come from two different sources. One is, a lot of parents today, they're babysitters of the television.
Mm-hmm.
They'll set them in front of the TV and let them watch these old Well, they call them cartoons, but they're nothing. No. But they're horrible. They're awful.
The devil puts his twist in there.
And then they'll give them a Nintendo and let them sit there and do these video games all day long. There's nothing but killing and marauding and burning and destroying. And then they turn them loose on the streets, and here we go. And that's what we're getting.
What do you expect of them then?
That's exactly what they're doing.
They think that's the normal thing to do.
They're acting out what they grew up learning. And parents, believe this or not, but it is the absolute proven truth. Your children will learn more from you than they will from anybody else as long as they live.
That's right.
So you better believe that they're watching what you're doing, and you better know that they're going to mimic what you're doing. And understanding that this is a big part of why our America is being destroyed from within.
Yeah.
Several years ago, I had a job and had an office with windows over the parking lot of a place I worked. And a man there who was he actually took care of the building and maintenance too, and had a little boy that... He probably was afflicted in some way, but one evening I looked out, and the man, when he walked, he turned his feet out.
Uh-oh.
And walked like this, and along came behind his little boy, and his feet were turned out just exactly that same way. He was walking in his daddy's footsteps.
Yeah.
He was doing just like daddy did. I had a little nephew the other day. I was having trouble with my back. My back was bothering me pretty bad, and so I was down at the shop. I got a pretty good sized shop down there that we love to play in, and me and him will get down in there sometimes and build stuff, you know. And my wife was down there with us the other day, and me and him had been working on something, and my back was hurting so bad, but I was still trying to, you know, do something with him, build a birdhouse, whatever, I don't know. Anyway, I was working on something, and I went to get a piece of lumber, you know, on the other side of the shop. And my wife just busted out laughing, and I said, "What is it?" She said, "Just look at him." And he was walking like Fred Sanford, because that's the way I was walking. You know, my back was hurting so bad, I was kind of dragging a leg, and she was just dying laughing, because he was walking right along behind me just like
exactly
I was walking.
Exactly like you.
Walking just exactly like I was.
And they will. They'll walk.
They will do it.
They'll walk like you walk. They'll talk like you talk. They'll act like you act now. Praise God, sometimes if you're listening to us and you're not a Christian, then you act wrongly and sinfully.
Ungodly.
The hope they have is that somebody might tell them about Jesus and they might get saved. And then it'll make a difference in their life.
Well,
they'll even respect and honor you, even though they don't approve. Now, just say we say honor your father and your mother. My honor to my daddy was not to say I approve of you putting that shotgun with buckshot in it to my head and threatening to kill me. I didn't approve that. That was wrong. But it did say that I'm going, in spite of that, I'm going to try to do what God said.
Try to do the best I can. And your children will follow up on that with other folks too, because when I had a child get on the school bus one afternoon, we was driving home, and this child was sitting right behind me, and he was just talking to me about different stuff, but just out of his little mouth came, "My daddy drinks beer," you know, and I was like, "Oh, well, baby, you know, that's not right, is it? We don't supposed to drink beer, are we?" He said, "Oh, yeah, Brother Mike, me and my daddy loves beer." And this is a kid, now we're talking about a first grader.
He done been giving it to
his
boy.
We talking about a first grader.
Or at least in his mind, he was already doing it.
"Me and my daddy loves beer." And I debated over whether to turn his daddy in for giving the kid beer. But all that said, you know, that's normal now. You know, that's normal for them. They think, "Hey, it's all right. Me and daddy loves beer, and daddy, beer's okay, and it's fine." Listen, it's not fine. It's not okay. It's not okay. And everything that you do in front of them today, they'll take it a step further and do a step worse than you did in your life. And the next will be the same. That's what God meant when he said that will be suffered upon them to the fourth generation. What you do is going to be, and one other thing, I'm going to hush a little bit, but you will be held accountable. You better hear what
Amen.
I'm saying.
Amen.
If you're a parent today and you're raising your children, you are going to be held accountable by the God Almighty that created this universe. You will be held accountable for how you act and treat your children, and the way you raise them up. And I'm Amen. Telling you, it will be that you will stand and look into the face of God and give an account for how you raise those kids.
And Mike, go one step farther with that. Sometimes you can raise them.
Oh, yeah.
Just exactly
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, according to the scriptures.
That's right.
And they're going to turn out to be a thug.
They will. They will. And oftentimes it is the case. But I tell you one thing is a fact. What you planted in them, they can't get out of them.
Right.
But they can.
No way you can erase that off of that.
No,
exactly.
They
can, I agree with that.
They can rebel against it.
But
they
sometimes
can,
they're going to do their own thing regardless of what they have been taught.
And if you have taught them right and lived before them as best you could, we're not talking about perfection here because only Jesus could ever do that, then do not beat yourself up. Just continue to pray, continue to trust God, and believe that one day God is going to work a work in their life. And I've seen that so oftentimes, that when God did turn this situation around, they became outstanding that parents could be proud of.
Don't let a day go by without praying for them.
That's exactly a fact. Right. On your knees, interceding for them just like you want Jesus to intercede for you.
Absolutely.
Let it be. Go for it. Yes, indeed. I've seen poor old parents cry bitter tears until they go to their grave. And then after they go to the grave, their children turn around and get it right.
Well,
you know, you wish they'd have done it before, but you thank God they're doing it now.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, you cannot. They can't get that out of their raising. Now, they can, like I say, they can rebel against it, and they can act an idiot and do whatever they want to do, but. And they will do it sometimes.
Absolutely.
But, you know, just keep, like Brian said, just keep praying. Just keep on praying.
Absolutely. Well, I guess we're going to have to move along, or
we're going to run out of time.
Here we are, and I'm good at doing that. So Brother Pinion is going to read us out of 2 Samuel, chapter 15, 7 through 12.
And it says, "And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow which I abode in Geshur in Syria, saying, If the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And the king said unto him, Go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. And Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem. They were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom said unto Ahithophel, the Gileonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, which he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was short, for the people increased continually with Absalom."
All right, now bring us up to date a little bit, Mike. Who is Absalom?
Absalom is the son of King David.
Okay.
Yeah, and Absalom had grown up in David's household. Now, I'll be the first to tell you right quick, like when God wrote his word, he gave us the warts and all. I mean, even the heroes like David in God's word, he shows us the good and the bad. But David's household was not what it should have been in many cases. But Absalom was his son, and Absalom grew up under the king's, in the king's household.
Exactly so, and
Absalom was rebellious. I'll go ahead and add that right quick.
And I've often wondered, I wondered even more as I studied this past week or so, what all was in Absalom's mind and heart and that would that created him in this manner, or that changed him to be this kind of a...
Well, wasn't he trying to get the kingdom?
He was power hungry.
He was trying to overthrow his father as king and become king himself.
That's what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
That's what he had in mind.
What children often do as far as their father, when the father... And one thing Mike's already mentioned, and it wouldn't be fair to Keith to let's not say it. David was not the father that he should have been.
Not at all.
No.
He was not the husband that he should have been. He was not the man that he should have been. And oftentimes children try to make up for it in other ways and to overcome that. And then sometimes they try to just be, David was the king. Folks bowed down to him. They try to even, because they really know what goes on behind closed doors. And they know that them folks that bowing down, that they could holler out and say, you don't know what my daddy's doing.
Yeah.
You don't know him like he is. Now, the Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. And there was a lot of good in David. And it was a lot of times that he walked with the Lord and obeyed the Lord, wrote some of the most precious songs in the book of Psalms that you'll ever read. But yet, like Mike said, he had flaws in his life. And I wonder how many of those flaws were, how many times did Absalom, when David was doing something else that he thought was more important than being a father, did Absalom stand there and as a little boy and wish his daddy would, I'm going to go back to my years, play marbles with him. Or,
right. Just, you know, throw the ball with him in the front yard. Just pay him some attention. Just act like he wanted to be with him for a little bit.
Well, David reigned right in the early part of his kingdom.
Amen.
And then in the middle to the latter part of the kingdom, he was everything but right.
Yeah.
Why do you think that was, Brother Pinion?
Well, I think he let his power overwhelm him, and he got the idea that he was going to be indestructible and that everything, everybody and everything was going to be exactly like he wanted it to be.
And as we remember the occasion when he sinned with Bathsheba, the Bible says in that particular passage, the time came when kings go forth to war, to battle, David stayed home.
Yeah.
Yeah. But David was basically a sex addict.
He was.
And it just literally drove him to do things he shouldn't have done. I mean,
and he got somehow in his mind the opinion that he was so important,
right,
that he ought not to be out there on the battlefield with those men leading them.
Well, he got beyond the accountability that God was holding him, trying to hold him to. And when he did that, he went down.
He did.
And Absalom saw all of that. And Absalom, yeah, no doubt had a lot less respect for his daddy than he should have.
Right.
Possibly partly because of that, but still, as we talked about earlier, we're to have that respect irregardless,
right,
of what kind of a daddy we got.
Yeah.
You know, that's hard to do. I understand that. But in those years that we're talking about here in 2 Samuel 15, Absalom was in his rebellious years, and he just felt like, hey, I can do a better job of this than daddy can. And I want to take it away from him, and that's what was going on here. Dishonoring God and David's case was wrong, and it led to some problems with Absalom. Absalom's dishonoring God led to even worse things, and it does in our own lives. I say it again and again. Bad choices have bad consequences, and it's going to happen in every life, whether you're saved or unsaved.
And David made some bad choices, and I don't know that we have the time to go back over all of them, but instead of doing his duty like he should have been, leading the people in battle for the Lord, leading God's people, he was staying at home. And instead of minding his own business, he got on the rooftop and he spied a woman that was beautiful. And instead of turning his eyes away and asking God to give him strength to resist this temptation, he began to ask questions about her. And then he sent for her. Now, Absalom's somewhere hanging around out there and seeing what his daddy's doing. And I'm going to tell you, daddies, and these men have done it much better than I can. You are going to find out that your failure as a parent, your failure as a daddy, I know you're busy. I know you work 6 days a week so hard you can't hardly drag home. I know I've had to do some of that myself. But nevertheless, God does not take away our duty and our responsibility as a parent. On the other hand, I've also been in the child situation where my daddy never played a game with me in my life. My daddy never took me hunting. He never carried me fishing. All I got was a curse. And I remember one time we were working in the field. I was about 11 years old, and I went to ask him a question. He was plowing, and I was plowing another little old horse. Now, I went to ask him a question. He picked up a clod of dirt and tried to knock me down with it. Tried to knock me down with that clod of dirt. But it did not, and I say this emphatically, release me from my responsibility to honor my daddy.
No, not according to God's word. It did not. No, it didn't.
But we see that Absalom begins to use deception here. And in verses 7 and 8, it came to pass after 40 years, Absalom said to the king, "Let me go and pay my vow." I'm going to ask him, what was he telling his daddy? And let's see what he did, "which I vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I stood at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord will bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I'll serve the Lord." Elaborate a little bit on that.
Did he really make that vow? Who knows? If he did, he lied.
He did.
But, or either he was lying and saying he made it to start with.
I doubt seriously he made it.
It was his way of convincing David. He knew that in David's heart, David loved the Lord, and David would not do anything to stop his son from finishing a vow that he had made to God. And so David said, "Go in peace." And so he arose and went to Hebron. But the whole idea is that, you know, that this young man was raised up, and now he's fulfilling the way his daddy was, as lying and carrying on,
deceiving
and so forth. And you know, all I can see here is Absalom's trying his best to get power, and he don't have any honor whatsoever for his father.
Right.
Now, there's severe consequences for that, as we all know, that's going to come along in Absalom's life in the not very distant future from this very story right here.
And but what he's doing, this deceptive thing, is an act of deception, but it brings an evil act of destruction. Review, Brother Pinion, that verses 9 through 12 there.
Do what now?
Read again 9 through 12, and then...
And the king said unto him, "Go in peace." So he rose and went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "As soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron." And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent unto Ahithophel the Gileonite and David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, which he offered while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom.
So we can see where he's going with all this, all right. But it is a this act is an act of destruction. He is bound for destruction himself, as we later find out. And he was leading a bunch of men. Some of them, in fact, he said they were in their simplicity. They didn't know what his plans were. They didn't know what was in his heart.
No.
They didn't. They perhaps thought he was going over there to keep that vow.
Yeah. He probably picked out the strongest and dumbest.
I imagine that's it.
In the whole crowd.
I imagine that's it.
But they didn't know. They said they went in their simplicity. They didn't know anything.
No.
They didn't know that Absalom was up to trying to overthrow his daddy from the throne. That's what it meant. And
he deceived them. He deceived his daddy. And I guess he thought he deceived God, but you can't do that. Brother Pinion, tell us, there's some folks listening to us that are not Christians, and the only thing I can figure is they think that they can deceive God on that day when we stand in his presence. But let's talk about what trying to deceive God.
Well, first of all, let me just say this. When we stand in the presence of God, there's not going to be any deceiving or deception.
Absolutely. Amen. Not at all.
And because God knows the truth, and he's well aware of all the facts involved in our lives and for our lives. He knows my sin. He knows my nature. He knows my heart. He knows everything there is to know about me. And when I stand in his presence, I'm going to be standing there with the only defense I have, and that's going to be the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, those that are listening to me that don't have the promise of the blood of Jesus, they're in a pretty terrible fix.
Amen.
Because they're going to stand in the judgment of God just as I will.
Yes, sir.
But they're not going to have the defense that I'll have that's going to come from the Son of God. The Christ is going to say he wasn't what he ought to been, but he's mine.
That's right.
And when he says that, me and him going to walk through.
Amen.
And we're going to become a part of it.
That's right. So
and the glory of it is going to be just unimaginable.
Oh, can't describe it. So you call on him today and say, Lord, I've failed you, I've sinned, deceptive, I've been very wicked, but I'm asking you to forgive me and save me, and I'll tell you, Brother Pinion just told you what would happen. Now, what about let's quickly close because we're out of time, and read verse 13 and 14, Brother Pinion.
All right. And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all the servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make us speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword.
So we see, first of all, that dishonoring parents will eventually be discovered. You think you're going to get by with it, but God knows it, and it has a strange way of coming out. But one day, for sure, when you stand before God, if you have not honored your parents, and some of us haven't at some points in our life, but we can be forgiven. When you call on him to save, he forgives you that. Dishonoring your parents is disgraceful, and it will be disastrous. In 2 Kings chapter 2, 23 and 24, the story is told about some young fellows that mocked the prophet Elisha, and two she-bears ate them up. I don't know whether the she-bears were going to eat you up or not, but I can tell you some bad things are going to happen. Will you please today call on the Lord if you don't know him as your Savior. Ask him to forgive you. He died for you. He paid the price. Then also ask him to help you to be honorable to your parents and honorable to other people too, and to live in such a way that people about you will know that you know the God that gave those Ten Commandments. We thank you for listening. We invite you to join us again next week right here on the same station. May God bless you.